Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stugatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Billy, we have a very golfy stupidity coming on here. I don't know if golfy is a word, but we have the author of a golf book, Drew Millard, who's going to join us. And we have a guy who just won his first tournament on the PGA Tour at the Wells Fargo, Wyndham Clark. He did it last week. He won $3.6 million. His highest paycheck before that was $450,000. So an exciting time for him. Golf seems like a hobby or a sport, Billy, that you've wanted to pick up for like years. You've been telling me for years you want to get into golf, and yet you haven't done it yet. Those clubs in the back there haven't moved in a year. I mean,
yes, that's true. I have wanted to get into golf, and the thing is that I'm not good enough, and I get very frustrated when I play golf. So like, sometimes I've thought to myself like, oh, you know what? I just want to go to the driving range and maybe let off some steam. And then I don't go. And then I think, well, if I would have gone, it would have taken me a while to get there, a while to get back. I would have done terrible the whole time. I would have been hot. And I just kind of talk myself out of wanting to do golf. You know what I mean? Like, right. I want to do golf, and then I talk myself out of it every time. But maybe this is the episode that changes it. Maybe okay. This is the episode that gets me into golf, Mikey.
All right.
I doubt it.
Oh.
He thinks too much. I mean, the game will kill him, I swear.
If only golf could save your life.
That's the title of the book that Drew Millard wrote. Billy's going to write a book, Golf Will Kill You.
Well, okay, let's talk about something, because obviously we're recording this intro after we've done these two interviews. Yeah. I think in most instances, obviously, if we have the author of a golf book and we have someone who just won a PGA Tour event, we would start with the winner of the PGA Tour event, correct?
Right. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Of course.
But
yeah.
We kind of fell in love with Drew, and then we did a weird thing where we interviewed Drew first, thinking that he would be the second interview. But we liked Drew so much that we invited Drew to be part of the second interview, not thinking he would accept. And then he did accept. And now I think, and it could be wrong, now I think that Drew may be our golf K-Funk that we just can't get rid of, who will just always be around for us.
I'm good with that. Just as long as he doesn't call me as often as K-Funk does.
Do I have to go to a strip club with Drew now?
Dude, K-Funk texted me like 2 days ago out of the blue. And he's like, are the Panthers the best team in the NHL now? And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, if they make the cup, I'm going down to a game. I go, K-Funk, if you come down here to go to a Stanley Cup final game, you're coming in studio. We'll record a God Bless Football with you in person. Oh, so yes. Now I'm kind of hoping that the Panthers don't make this.
Can we get K-Funk and Drew a show together?
Oh, my God. Boy. Wow. That's the dream,
I'll just sit
right?
back and count the money.
Let's hand off stupidity to them.
Yes, done. Right. I'm good with that. By the way, I think we did it in the right order. Because I'm telling you right now, if I had the choice of playing 18 holes with Drew Millard or Wyndham Clark, I would choose Drew Millard.
I don't think so.
I totally made that up. Let's go to the author first. Stu Gatz here from my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
How's it going, everybody?
Good, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hey, Drew, how are you?
Doing great. I'm excited to go on. I've been like writing really good jokes for this, so
have you?
Have you?
Do you want us to tee you up? Like, do you have like? I'd be happy to like lay down a line that will set up your joke for you. Like, I'm here to assist you in any way I can.
No, I don't. I don't have any good jokes written. I was just.
Well, that
was
just bullshitting us, Drew.
That was a joke in itself. That I think
that was.
That's
a meta joke.
Yeah. unfortunately, now I'm gonna suck at this. Billy, what kind of clubs you got back there? Wait, when are we going on?
We can start whenever you want.
We're starting, Drew. We started. You started it. You came in guns blazing.
All right.
Why are you asking Billy about his clubs, Drew?
I just want to know what kind of rig he's working with back there.
Okay, so here's the thing, Drew, and I'm gonna tell you what I
transparency.
I told Mikey just before this. So this is what's going on. I have golf clubs behind me underneath a football helmet and a book of Stephen A. Smith's, an autographed Stephen A. Smith book, not to flex, but he signed it. So, yeah,
oh, my God.
I have these golf clubs back here, and they have never made an appearance, I don't think, on any of the shows that we've recorded before. Those clubs have been in the trunk of my car for probably like 2 years now. And I bought them at Dick's Sporting Goods when I was taking a weekend, like, intro to golf class on Saturday mornings that we were just, like, at the driving range. So it's, like, a very cheap set of golf clubs that I've only played one round of actual golf, and it was with Stu Gatz when we were doing this thing for the show a couple months ago. So I was cleaning up the office that I'm doing this in, and I had the golf clubs off to the side because I had to take them out of my car because I was moving stuff, whatever. So right before you came on, they were not there, and I said to Mikey, I go, Mikey, watch this. Should I put this back here to have this as a golf setup because we're going to talk golf right now? And I was like, I'm even going to have it face the wall so that you don't see the brand because it's just a cheap set of clubs that I bought for this class that I've used like one time. And the very first thing that you said as soon as you signed on was, what kind of clubs are those behind you?
Drew was writing fake jokes and Billy was setting up fake props.
You
wow. I've it was the most insecure thing that you could have pointed out, and you immediately ceased on it. And now you're the
you
alpha
set it
his,
up for him to point it out, though, and he did.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, like, none of us have golf clubs in our background, so like, you
I'm a
win.
Big golf guy, yeah, I'm a big golfer. Probably the biggest of the bunch here, you know?
He's played one round with me, and it wasn't even a round. I wouldn't classify that as a round.
No, really. we did, like, front nine, and it was, like, best ball, and it was, like, with eight people at the same time. It was fun, but...
It was fun, yes. Yeah. We're wasting Drew Millard's time, but he did ask the question, and that's what happens when you ask Billy a question. He has a book out, How Golf Can Save Your Life. I'm super interested in this. Drew, let's start here. What inspired you to write the book?
I mean, you know, first and foremost, money.
Excellent.
I want more of it.
Yeah.
No.
Good answer. You should have just stopped at money. Just money.
You know, why does anybody do anything? No. A few years ago, I was working in a newsroom, like an online newsroom. It was super fast-paced environment. And, you know, I was like 24, 25, something like that. And it was just a recipe for getting burned out. And that's what I did. I moved from Los Angeles back into my parents' house, which is like the coolest thing you can do. I'm really selling this, aren't I?
Yeah, you are.
And, you know, I needed to recover somehow. And so, you know, I started going to therapy, started playing golf almost every day, and golf ended up being this really great opportunity to just sort of escape from the pace of the life that I had been living before. And, you know, it also gave me an opportunity to sort of like externalize my problems in a way where, like, if I failed or I fucked up, I can swear on this, right?
No, yes,
but it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If I failed or messed up, I could, you guys are wily. I don't know. Where I could, like, there wasn't a penalty for, failing in a way where, like, you know, I felt like there was in my real non-golfing life. And yeah, I've just been obsessed ever since. Golf.
But Drew, you love golf since you were a child, and then so where'd that love come from? Let's start there. You've loved golf since you were a child, yet you stopped playing after college. But where did your love of golf come from?
I mean, you know, I grew up in Western North Carolina, which is just like crawling with golf courses.
Yes.
Like the architect Tom Fazio, I think, lives in Hendersonville, North Carolina, which is like 20 minutes outside of where I grew up. And
by Pinehurst, right?
No, Pinehurst is in the middle of the state.
Oh, it's a middle state. Okay.
It's in a part called the Sand Hills because they got sand and hills. Or maybe it's Pine Hills. I don't know.
Hills made of sand, I would guess, you know?
I like
it. Yeah.
I do too.
But yeah, really a lot of my love for golf was incubated just from like playing with my dad when I was a kid. You know, it was a great way to spend time with him. And as I got older, it became a great way for me to, like, you know, have like a 14-year-old pubescent boy hormone induced freak out because I like topped a ball or whatever. And then my dad to be like, yo, chill out. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah. And so I think that, you know, it's one of the formative ways that I bonded with my dad. So that's, you know, one of the reasons it's really special to me.
Why'd you stop playing after college? Did life just get in the way, or what happened there?
I was like a really bad driver of like cars as a teenager and college student. And my car insurance was so expensive because I had gotten in so many wrecks that I couldn't live in a place where I drove. And so I had to move to New York City, and I was like living in a windowless room that barely had enough space in it for me and my body. So I was just like, I can't bring my golf clubs to New York City. And then I lived in like Los Angeles, and it was really hard to get my stuff shipped there. And it was just like logistical shit stuff. And I just kind of let it go to the point where like I had almost like forgotten that I was such like an obsessive golfer when I was like a teenager. And then like when I got back to my parents' house, it just like clicked right again.
Dude, that's, do you think Drew is the first person to move to New York City to save money?
No. I was thinking the same thing, Mikey. Hey.
Well, I just meant like, wow.
No, we know. We got it, Drew. Drew Millard with us, how golf can save your life. So you started playing again. What was the reason you picked up the game again?
I mean, I picked it up as part of like recovery from depression. Like I, you know, one of the ways that you get over depression is like, or one of the ways you can rather is through exercise, because exercise gives you endorphins, which make you feel good. And that sort of like spurred it. And also like, you know, I wasn't really doing nothing at the time. And right. So I had a lot of free time. And in my parents' town, there was this golf course called Tryon Country Club, which was a private golf club, but the dues were $50 a month for unlimited golf. And I was like, oh, wow, this is like the perfect way to spend my time for the next 6 months while I convalesce.
Wait, so your doctor prescribed exercise and you said, yes. Screw it. I'm not exercising. I'm going to play golf, because golf is not exercising. I mean, especially in a cart.
Oh, well, no, I don't use carts.
Oh, that a boy. And, okay, yeah, good.
Yeah, we're team walking over here. DJ Khaled just released an Instagram video. DJ Khaled plays golf now. And he just released an Instagram video in which he proclaims that walking the course is an 8-mile walk, which I don't think is true, but I appreciate that he's like spreading that propaganda.
I think you need to take his facts with a grain of salt, Drew.
Yeah. Have you read his book? It's so sick.
What is
it's got a lion on the front.
Okay, hold on a second.
Wait, Drew, you can't come on a show promoting your book and then end up promoting someone else's book better than you're promoting your book. What are you doing?
Let's talk about DJ Khaled's book for a second. What's so
let's
great
promote
about
the
that?
Hell out of it. Available wherever books are sold.
Yeah. Well, listen, DJ Khaled, if you need a ghostwriter for your inevitable book about golf, get at me. Listen, this is a platform. I'm borrowing it to promote, you know, myself, my work.
And DJ Khaled.
And DJ Khaled.
What do you like about his book besides the fact that there's a lion on the cover?
It's like very clearly written, dictated into a tape recorder. Like there's one part where he says, tell the writer to put this part in all caps. And it's just in the book. And there are also just sort of like endorsements of DJ Khaled interspersed throughout the book. There's just like a thing from Diddy where like Diddy clearly thought he was giving like a pull quote for the back of the book, but they just put it inside the book. It's just super chaotic.
So I'm told that you used to write big time profiles on rappers in addition to writing your golf book. So who did you profile?
I have profiled Drake. I have profiled Meek Mill. I once spent the entire day with Waka Flocka Flame.
Jesus.
I'm like dating myself here.
No, that's fine.
I might want to have you back on to talk about your day with Waka Flocka Flame or whatever.
I found out while we were doing this, Dugatz, that we have a mutual friend. So I'm now peppering that mutual friend to get information on.
Oh, really?
Drew. Yes.
That's Would you mind telling me who this mutual friend is, or you can't do that?
I feel like Drew knows who this mutual friend is.
I know exactly who this mutual friend is because I was texting him before, too.
Were you really? No, you weren't.
I was. Yeah.
Does someone want to spill the beans? I mean, one of the two of you.
Well, now
get the mutual friend on.
Now I'm nervous that we're not thinking of the same person. Who are you thinking about?
I am thinking of Charlie Hume.
That is the exact person that I was talking to.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Sorry you're friends with him. I mean.
Oh, it's okay. I've worked past it. Charlie's my boy.
he told me that you used to have an obsession with Bryson DeChambeau. And that you got single length irons and everything.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good idea, and it wasn't. it's just like, if you've ever wanted to hit your pitching wedge 150 yards and then hit your five iron 160 yards, I would recommend single length irons. It's got great gapping from 150 to 160. Everything else, you're hosed. I ended up like trading them in, and a guy who was like friends with the pro at the course that I traded him in at was like, you gave those single length irons in, right? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, my friend bought them. He is obsessed with them. He loves them. So like, they work for some people.
Right. Just not you.
Just not me.
No, I understand it. But how did becoming like, how did sucking at golf become your new ceiling? Like people try to get better at it. They don't want to be bad at it.
Well, I mean, like, you know, first of all, I feel like getting better at golf is like a really weird thing. Like, you will put so much work into it, and then nothing happens. And then one day, you know, you look at your handicap and you're like, wait a second, your handicap scores, and you're like, wait a second, I've been like averaging like 92 for a while. Suddenly now I'm averaging like 87. I didn't even notice that. And so, like, you know, it's one of those things where, like, if you just focus on playing yourself, you don't believe me.
No, I do. Billy and I are laughing about something else. You just keep promoting your book and telling your story, okay?
You're going to make him feel bad.
We'll save it for the end. No, we're just laughing about something else. We were DMing on the side. We want to start a new show called God Bless Golf with you as a co-host.
Okay, I'm in. God Bless Golf, Levitard Network. It'll start with me just telling you how to not get better at golf.
Are you good at golf? Are you good at golf, or are you just good?
No, he's Billy, he's terrible at golf, and he wants to be terrible at golf because it's helping him heal.
Well,
here's the thing, though.
Because I had the exact opposite experience with golf. So I went and I did this beginner class for golf two different times. So, like, the teacher was like, why are you here again? You already took this class. And it's like, because I felt so insecure with how difficult golf was, which I then found out everyone's just terrible at golf, which I didn't know. I thought people were actually good at golf, right?
Billy, I live on a golf course. I'm not good.
Okay, but that's the thing, is I never played a round of golf because I was so bad at this intro course where I couldn't consistently hit the ball, and it was just a disaster. So I'm like, I can never play golf. You are using golf to help you, like, heal with, like, depression and cope and whatever. I play golf, and I just get super stressed out, and I'm like, I can't do this. This is way too difficult for me.
Well, I mean, you know, that stuff, I'm probably not as bad as I'm saying I am. But, you know, I think that, like, part of it is, like, if you're familiar with, like, Stoic philosophy or something, like, a lot of, like, Stoic philosophy is, like, if someone throws a rock at your head or a rock falls on your head, you're just like, ow, that sucks. I am accepting that it sucks. I'm letting it, like, sort of wash over me, feeling this feeling, and then letting it go. And so, like, that's sort of how I try to deal with being bad at golf, is the same sort of, like, principle. But yeah, I got another thing I got to get off my chest here.
That's cool.
The number one way to make golf more accessible, normalize cheating. Like, you shouldn't have to, like,
totally
be like, you shouldn't have to feel like you have to play an entire hole in order to have a good time at golf. You should be able to, like, just blatantly cheat, or not cheat, but, like, you know, you should be able to take a second shot. You should be able to pick up your ball, move it to a different place. Like, it just makes it more fun if someone is just being very casual about.
That's blatant cheating, though.
So,
man,
it's just like, just do whatever you feel like. If you want to hit another ball, I'm just
place
hit
the hole.
Ball.
I mean, just place the ball in the hole. I mean,
how does anyone win a game with no rules, Drew?
Because listen, man, we live in a society, but we don't have to. Like, just open your mind.
Let's talk more about that. Let's not live in a society.
I would like to know. Well, I want to talk about Waka Flocka. Okay. I'm talking about. I do want to know if it worked. Did golf indeed save your life?
I mean, I'm here.
Do you think you wouldn't be here unless the doctor said go get some exercise and you chose golf? Like,
yeah, no.
Okay. All right.
So it didn't.
No.
Okay. But it saved you.
it gave me a new
It made
purpose.
You a better person, is that
It made
fair?
Me a better person, yeah.
Good.
Okay. It completely changed sort of my relationship with like how I view the world and like how I view work and all that fun stuff. It gave me, yes, it gave me like a much better perspective on everything.
How often do you golf now?
In the past 2 weeks, I've golfed zero times because putting out a book is like, it's like a lot of work. Like I was like hand printing t-shirts last night, but usually in normal times, listen, I got a launch party coming up, had to make merch for it. But usually
I like you, dude.
Yeah, I did too.
Thank you. I like you guys. This is fun. But usually I play like twice a week. You know, I'm a member of a course in Philly where I live, and it's like a very chill vibe. Just go out, you know, you can knock 18 out in like 2.5-3 hours because if you go during the week.
Well, and you're dropping the ball in the hole.
And you're dropping the ball in the hole.
You
yeah,
shot
exactly.
an 18, Mikey.
Yeah, yeah. I'm putting up them Kim Jong-il scores, you know?
Okay.
Famously once claimed he shot a 27.
Well, he shoots whatever he wants to shoot. I mean,
exactly.
Just
yeah.
like you. Yes.
Exactly.
And if you don't, you just pick up your ball and shoot again.
Right.
Yeah.
Listen, I knew golf could save a marriage. I had no idea it could save someone's life. I mean, so I'm happy that you're doing better because of a game that I love. Seriously, man.
I appreciate it. And, you know, I really appreciate y'all having me on as well. I saw you had Hank Azaria on recently. How does the drop off feel in terms of star quality of the guest?
Well, here's the thing. We're going to talk to Wyndham
Clark.
We'll
have to ask Hank that. Yeah.
You're going to talk to Wyndham Clark. Do you have any interest in joining Wyndham Clark? You can join us if you want. Talk some golf.
Wyndham Clark?
Yeah. Well, he's coming on and like, you know, it's going to be like another hour. You want to come back with us? Listen, it's you or Charlie for co-host of God Bless Golf. So, I mean, it's up to you. And Charlie's good. He's a scratch golfer, as you know.
What do your t-shirts say?
Okay. My t-shirt says like Philadelphia Eagles, RIP NFC East.
I meant the ones that you were printing last night.
Oh, my t-shirts.
This is your kind of guy, Billy.
They said golf's favorite on them. There's this like brand called Praying that makes a very popular shirt called that says God's favorite on it. And so we were ripping that off. You know, trying to just doing it for the clout.
Right.
So
Drew, do you think
book?
Yes. Drew, do you think golf could save my life if I smoke a pack of heaters every 18 holes that I play? How does that work?
That's not going to save your life, but it might be a death mitigation tactic if you are walking, because maybe that'll make your lungs better it'll make them less bad. I don't know.
Even if you're smoking about... while walking?
Unfortunately, I drive around in a cart that goes 40 miles per hour. I mean, yeah.
Wow. Wait, do you have like a custom cart?
I do. Yeah, I'm a douchey golfer.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
That's
you come down and play sometime if you want. Me, you, Charlie, and Billy.
Let's do it.
I would love that.
That would be
Mikey,
great.
Mikey, you can come too.
It's all right.
Well, Mikey's always invited. He knows that. But Mikey doesn't golf, I don't think. But Mikey, you should have. We'll save your life. I mean,
apparently,
yes,
something's got to.
All right, yeah. Drew Millard, How Golf Could Save Your Life. He has t-shirts. The book is out wherever books are sold. Let's put him on the New York Times bestseller list and make him a lot of money. Okay, let's do that.
Thank you, Drew.
Yeah, we appreciate it, man. We'd like to have you back with Wyndham Clark in an hour if you want to join us. What do you think?
You don't have to join us. We were kind of
Drew. You don't have to. We're teasing, but it's a fun.
You're more than welcome to if you want.
Yeah, man. Whatever.
Drew, I think this book will do well because golf books do well, and people who are into golf are like seeing it like, whoa, that's an interesting story. Golf saving someone's life. So I think it's going to do pretty good. Golf books generally do, and you seem like a good guy, so we're rooting for you.
Appreciate it. All right, I'll let y'all know if I can make it.
Okay, and we'll let you know if you're the co-host of God Bless Golf in a couple of weeks. All right.
Sounds
you had a good audition today, though. I'm telling you, you did great.
Yeah. Appreciate it. All right, have a good one.
All right, we'll talk to you. Good luck with the book.
Thank you.
Drew, welcome back.
Thank you. What's going on? How have you guys been for the past hour?
We've been good, Drew. Wyndham is here.
Hey, Wyndham, how's it going?
Good. Nice to meet you.
Wyndham, Drew, just so you know, we interviewed him about an hour ago. It's the first time I met him. And he wrote a book about how golf can save your life. And so we invited him back.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I'll have to look into that.
All right, Wyndham Clark is with us. He won his first PGA tournament at the Wells Fargo last weekend. Take us through that. Thank you for joining us, by the way, and walk us through that. 29 years old, get your first victory on the PGA Tour, get a $3.6 million check. So walk us through the emotions, put us there, put us in your head. What were you thinking? What was going on?
Yeah, hey, guys, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I mean, it's been surreal this last kind of 48 hours. Yeah, it's just been nuts from finishing the round Saturday to, you know, sleeping on a lead and then waking up and woke up at 5 a.m. for, and I had a 1:30 tee time. So I just sat there and was just thinking. And, but yeah, it's, it was a grind. It honestly seemed like it went by fast. But it was, you know, it was everything I could have dreamed of. And, you know, winning on that golf course, against that good of a field, in an elevated event in the fashion that I did it was better than I could have ever imagined.
Before last weekend, your biggest payday, I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of like $450,000, correct?
Yeah.
So. Okay. So do you like, I'm wondering how this works with you. Like $3.6 million, that's a life-changing amount of money, plus your first victory on the PGA Tour. Like, do you go to the bank machine just to make sure the money's there? How does that work?
You know, the way the tour does it, it's actually pretty awesome, is they send a text out after every event, and it says where you finished in the tournament, how many FedEx Cup points you got, and then the money that you earned. And so seeing that number had an extra zero than I'm used, you know, than I'm used to. So that was the number. I looked at that. I was like, oh my gosh. And, you know, obviously I think the money hits today. And so, I mean, I might have to just go to the bank and see what it looks like in there. But yeah, I mean, winning something like that part hasn't sunk in. I mean, winning has sunk in, but the amount of money, you know, sometimes you can't, because you can't see it or touch it. You don't really, doesn't feel real, but it's pretty awesome.
I was going to ask, I'm glad you said that, because the follow-up to that was, how long does it actually take to hit your account? So it hits today is what you're saying?
It's every Tuesday, yeah. Every okay. Tuesday.
That's payday?
That's payday, yep.
This is a special Tuesday, though.
I mean, yeah, Jesus. It's more special than most, that's for sure.
Did you ever think a day like Sunday was ever going to happen for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've always believed I can win the PGA Tour. And, you know, I've dreamt about it for a long time. There's definitely been some doubts throughout the years of believing that it would happen. But yeah, I mean, I catch myself probably almost every day of a tournament, you know, fantasizing about hitting this shot here or doing this or walking up 18 with a lead and doing whatever I need to capture that victory. So yeah, I've thought about it a ton.
What sort of conversations are you having with your caddy, especially like, you know, on that Sunday? Like, what are you really focused on? Like, are more sort of like staying, because you've played the course so many times, just like hitting the shots you need to hit, or like, you know, keeping your cool, or what?
I would say the conversation started kind of the night before. We went to dinner together, and he was like, hey, let's just not look at your phone. Let's, you know, just talk to only a couple people tonight and tomorrow. Don't look at text messages. Don't look at Instagram. Don't look at any of that stuff. And then when I got to the golf course, as we were warming up, he's like, hey, today's going to be tough. Not going to be able to play perfect. It's really windy. The pins are tough today. And so he was like, let's just get your mind wrapped around that it's going to be a lot tougher than yesterday was. So that's kind of where it started. And then as the round went on, you know, he's constantly telling me, you know, separate from the golf shots, you know, hey, let's slow down, take your time. And then, you know, and then John, he did a great job of, you know, when we had times to talk and whatever, he was cracking jokes, or we were talking about what he's doing in the off week, or anything other than golf. And so you know, sometimes I imagine he probably was thinking, like, what do I talk about? I got to get something going so we can loosen him up. But, you know, some stuff came naturally, and, you know, he did a great job keeping me calm.
Where was the meal? What kind of food did you have the night before?
We went to this place in Charlotte called Mizzou, which was this Japanese, it wasn't like a sushi bar, but it wasn't fully steakhouse. It was like this fusion, and it was fantastic. So we ate clean, we ate good, and yeah, it was the perfect meal.
You go sushi, or did you get like the Japanese chef who's cooking on the table for you? What'd you do there?
Well, so we sat at the bar because the place was packed.
Right.
And we got a sushi order. I got like this pork loin that was in some sort of Japanese, you know, had Japanese flavor. And then he got some sort of salmon, and we just kind of mixed the things. It was great.
You're paying for every meal for the rest of time. You know that, right?
Well, I do anyways for him. So now more than ever, for sure.
And no more sitting at the bar when it's packed.
Get this whole table.
That's what that wind does to you.
Yeah. I guess you're right. Yeah. But I like the bar, though. The bar is kind of nice. You know, it's, I like the interactions with people. And, but
yes.
Yeah, you're probably right. Maybe we'll choose back rooms now or something.
You're my kind of guy. I like the bar, too. Wyndham Clark with us, won his first PGA tournament of his career at the Wells Fargo just last weekend. Was there a moment in your life growing up where you realized, okay, my name is Wyndham Clark, therefore I must be a golfer for a living? Like,
well, yeah, it definitely,
was that a royalty?
Yeah, right. you're not wrong. That's so funny. People say that. My middle name's Robert, so it'd be Wyndham Robert Clark, and you add a third to it, and it sounds like I'm part of the royal family. So it's a very regal name, especially for golf. So it's as I probably got into college, I think that's when people were like, you have the perfect name for golf. You have to be a golfer. And that's kind of when it hit me. I was like, yeah, I guess I kind of do. So
when you add the Robert in there, now it's a little serial killer-ish. Now it's one of those three name, like assassin, like kill a president type things.
I'll stick with
Harvey, John Wilkes Booth, Wyndham Robert Clark. You know what I mean?
What are you doing to him? He chose wisely.
Well, all three names are sort of inherently serial killery. So like, you know, if you say right? your name, yeah, like Drew
like
Turner,
Alex Lord, Van like, Dyke, on. Does that come off as like, is that a three? I guess, well, no, it's not.
It's no. But this is also about Wyndham.
Robert Trent Jones.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. Like
that one. Yes. All right.
He's a serial killer of hopes and dreams of recreational golfers.
It's a very golfy name. There's no question about it. It's like Davis Love III. Wyndham, I'm wondering, when did you realize, like, at what point did you say, holy shit, I'm good enough where I could potentially play golf for a living? Because for me, as a casual golfer, that's dream come true type stuff, man.
Well, I always thought about as a kid that I could do it. But when I'd say it was a reality, or I really was like, you know, I can do this, was my redshirt freshman year at Oklahoma State. I was Big 12 Player of the Year and first team All-American. And I had a bunch of agents and companies that were meeting with my dad and myself of saying like, hey, this is kind of where you're going. Then we started having these discussions and I was like, whoa, this is real. And, you know, prior to that, you obviously think that, but when those discussions happen, you're like, all right, like, yeah, this is happening. So it was, I was about 19 years old when that kind of came to reality.
Very cool. Max Holm is a friend of the show, been on several times. We have asked him if he wants a fan base, the homies, and we'd be happy to be the fan base for him. We show up to tournaments and all that. Are you interested in that and in that kind of support? Because we could do that for you.
Sure.
Windows.
I was thinking windmills, to be honest with you.
Anything. And honestly, more fans the better. It's been 4 or 5 years with limited amount of fans. So, you know, having you guys out there, whoever, would be nice.
How about the Clark bars, Mike? What do you think?
Everyone calls me Dub. Dub's my nickname. So anything you want with Dub, I don't.
Dub. All right. All right. Dub is with
Dub
us here.
Dub Nation. Okay.
Wait, will you, now, if we show up to a tournament dressed up, we're cheering you on, we got signs, are you going to acknowledge us? You'll come out to the gallery, you'll shake our hands and all that
100%.
Stuff?
We'll do.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll come out. We'll maybe do a selfie mid-round or something.
Yes.
We'll sit at the bar and have some food.
I am done with Homa. Get Homa the hell out of here. Okay, Mikey? Hey, we have found
no
our
more
guy.
Homies.
Wyndham, I'm going to play a quick game with you. We appreciate your time. I know you're busy. Okay. It's a stupid game, so I apologize in advance. But the name of the game, okay, is Wyndham or Lose-dom, okay? So okay. Wyndham is something you're in favor of. Lose-dom, why am I explaining this game?
You this get is it, you.
Okay? Tricked out golf carts, Wyndham or Lose-dom?
Lose-dom, 100%.
Really?
Tricked out? Yeah, why is that? I want pure, fair golf, and then the best player wins on the golf course. Tricked out is... No PGA Tour player likes that. So
okay. That was a leading question, I just want to say.
Hey, you. All right, just promote your book. Promote it right here. Go one more time, quick.
All right, How Golf Can Save Your Life. Everywhere books are sold. Bookshop.org. Support local independent bookstore.
All right, Wyndham, here we go. Saying get left when the ball is clearly going right. Wyndham or Lose-dom?
Get left when it's clearly going right. That was a Wyndham. I usually miss to the right, so I'm screaming for it to go left or a kick off the tree back into the fairway left. So,
Drew thinks you should be able to place the ball wherever you want. I mean, but he's bad at golf. Slow play, Wyndham or Lose-dom?
Lose-dom. I'm a fast player. Don't
nice
play.
Bragging about good rounds during their bad rounds, Wyndham or Lose-dom?
Bragging about good rounds during their bad rounds. I don't know anyone that actually does that as a professional golfer. Most professional golfers will talk about all the bad breaks versus the good ones. So I don't even know.
Lose-dom.
Probably a Lose-dom. I just never heard anyone do that. So
okay. It's what weekend golfers do. It's what Drew does. Fishing for golf balls, Wyndham or Lose-dom?
Well, I love fishing, so you would think it'd be a Wyndham, but I don't fish for golf balls, so it's a Lose-dom.
Okay. Well, you get them for free, too. So that's there's that. Blaring music, Wyndham or Lose-dom?
Wyndham, for sure.
Really?
I love playing with music. Yep.
Okay. But no tricked out chords, but play the music.
Yeah. No tricked out chords, but what am I listening to?
Yeah.
Anything. I mean, I'll go from rap to country to house to Whitney Houston. I mean, we can go from anywhere. So it's whatever you're
dancing with somebody.
Yeah. I mean, if whatever you're rolling with, you make birdies with dancing with somebody, you're freaking listening to Whitney all the way home.
Until you stop hitting birdies. That's funny. Yeah. Waiting for the green to clear when you know they have no chance of making the green. Wyndham or Lose-dom?
Well, that's a Lose-dom. I usually can get to the green, so I wouldn't be doing that.
You got to play with some weekend golfers once in a while, man.
I do. Actually, it happened recently in a tournament. It's pretty funny. I don't know if anyone really knows this happened, but Bo Hossler and I were paired in the New Orleans team event together. And on the seventh hole, he's like 280 out to the front of the green, into a 10, 15-mile-an-hour wind. And Cantlay and Xander are in the group in front of us. And they're on the green. And I'm over on the left, and Bo's my partner. And he decides to go. And he hits this knuckleball from the rough. Because he was trying to lay up, literally three wood, probably short right. He's like, oh, whatever. And it comes out just rocket and flies and goes right up onto the green and can't lay in Xander. Everyone's like freaking out. And so that's like, that never happens on the PGA Tour. So that's like a huge faux pas to have happened. But he's like, I hit three wood 265. I wasn't even getting there. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, no one really knows what happened, but they were pissed. Like, and we're friends with them. They're like, what the heck was that? He was putting and I was like, hey, that was just luck. Literally.
I was trying to lay up, right? Saying I think that's OB when it's clearly OB. Wyndham or Lose-dom?
That's a Wyndham. I say that for sure. Okay. I mean, if it's even going towards OB, I'm like, is that OB? I'm freaking out. Right.
Looking at putts from every angle. One more. We'll get you out of here. Looking at putts from every angle.
That's a Wyndham. I circle the whole thing. Right. I look at every angle.
Yeah, but you're playing for $3.6 million. We're not. Yeah, you exactly. Know?
Hey, but fun rounds, I look one angle and just go. But yeah, for when you're playing for that kind of money, I look at every angle.
All right, last one for you. You've been great. Swing tips from me.
A Lose-dom. I don't. If someone asks, I'll give it to them. But I don't just say, hey, you need to do this. And if they ask for it, I'll help them. So that's a Lose-dom. I don't really. I let them do what they're doing.
The guy who offers those up, though, is the most – that's Drew. Drew does that.
He's especially when they're not good. That's the funniest thing that right. – I feel like I have some sort of credibility, but a guy that's like a 20 handicap and the guy that he's given the advice to is a 24, so he thinks he can help him. It's like, you guys both suck. You shouldn't help each other.
So you're saying I should stop?
Maybe. Yeah,
Drew, if I'm playing with Wyndham and he wants to offer up unsolicited swing tips – I'm good, okay? You're the problem. I'm the problem. I did the same thing. Like, hey, take that back a little slower. Hey, keep your head down. Hey, who the fuck am I? You know?
Exactly.
Meanwhile, I got a double bogey the last three holes. Like, it's crazy. Wyndham Clark, winner, first-time winner on the PGA Tour at the Wells Fargo. Congratulations to you, man. Super happy for you. And look forward to seeing if your success continues moving forward here. We'll be out of the tournament, man. We're going to come see you, and we'll figure out a name, and we'll get dressed up and come take some selfies in the gallery with us.
Love it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
It was fun.
You too.
Stay there, Drew.
Okay.
Mikey, I was very – it's the first time I've been super hesitant about playing a game, win them or lose them. I liked it. I thought of it on the fly, and it seemed to work out. Like, it was okay.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't ask him the Mike Ryan question. Guy who's dressed to the nines and sucks.
Damn it. I forgot that one. But I got some new ones in there.
Yeah, those were good.
I got some new ones in there. Drew, I'm telling you, you crushed it. We'll have to work on some timing, okay? But, like, I feel like there is a magical relationship happening here with you and maybe Charlie potentially co-hosting God Bless Golf with me, Billy, and Mikey A. What do you think?
I would love that. That would be super fun. I actually am looking for, like, stuff to do right now. So I'm super in if you're interested.
Listen, I'm telling you, you and Billy are kindred spirits. So, and I don't control these things. Billy does. So if Billy wants you to be in, you're in. Okay.
All right.
I'd be sucking up to him, not to me. All right.
Okay.
How about Wyndham Clark saying he's going to go out and look for your book? How about that?
That was amazing. Yeah. No, he was a super chill guy.
All right. Promote the book one more time for us. Everyone go buy his book because I'm tired of him. He's got nothing to do. He's complaining about this and that, and he needs some money. And listen, he was flat out honest with us. I said, why'd you write the book? He said, I need money. And that is a great reason to do anything. So promote it one more time. I want our listeners to put this on the New York Times bestseller list for you.
Okay. How Golf Can Save Your Life. Buy it at bookshop.org. You will support independent bookstores or buy it on Amazon. It's fine. No one's going to judge you. It's also easy. You get it in a day. You buy it. Next day, you're reading it. It's a win-win. Everybody wins. Except for independent bookstores. So buy it at bookshop.org.
There's a future here for you, kid. I'm not joking.
Thank you.
Don't change. Okay, Drew?
Okay.
All right.
I will not.
All right. We appreciate you, man. Thank you for joining us twice today.
Yeah, of course. I had a hell of a time. So much fun.
Billy, Drew killed it. I mean, he crushed it. I love this guy. I really do.
Good job, Drew.
Thank you.
Yeah, he was very excited. Wyndham said he's going to go look for his book.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Drew, I feel like maybe you should send Wyndham the book. I know it'll cost you something, but what does it really cost you ultimately if you send it to someone who's just won a PGA Tour event, you know?
On the other hand, he did just win $3.6 million.
That's true. Yeah. Mm. Maybe you send him a shirt. He wears the shirt. Maybe you put out a picture. Or you send him a book and you say, hey, you send him an invoice with the book. Or you say, or just send me a quick picture of you in the shirt and then we're square. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I only have 20 of the shirts because we were like making them by hand. We had like a big iron. I have a friend who's really into crafts and she was helping me do this.
How much are you selling these shirts for?
We're not sure yet.
There's only 20 of them.
When are they going for sale?
Collector's items.
Yes.
They're going for sale at my launch party, which is May 11th at Bushwick Country Club, which is not a country club. but in fact a dive bar in Brooklyn that has mini golf in the back.
I love
That's 2 days from now, so we got to kind of figure out a price point, I think. Are we making more or are we limiting it to 20?
We're seeing how the initial run does. And, you know, if they do well, maybe we'll print up some more. Maybe we'll enlist the services of a real printer.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, the margins are better. Listen, I'm a hustler, man. I'm grinding. I'm hustling. I'm grustling. I'm trying to, you know.
Yeah.
Keep
Drew, I want a shirt. Drew, I want one.
Okay.
And I'm not paying for it. I promoted the hell out of your book.
Oh, come on.
No, I'll pay for it. I'm joking. I bought, you know what? Put me down for three. Okay. One for Billy, one for Mike EA, one for myself.
Well, we've now taken over 10% of his inventory.
I'm paying for him. Yeah. I'm serious.
Okay.
We'll wear him during God Bless Golf. We'll wear him during Billy, you'll be excited for this. Wyndham Clark is looking for a fan club. And I think he's serious, unlike Homa. We had the windmills. We had
like Homa.
Windows, windmills, and the Clark bars. Like,
we'll figure it out. We'll definitely follow through on this.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%.
We have to go to a PGA Tour event in order to follow through on it, you know?
If we can get 94 other people, we can be Windows 98.
Wow.
Wow.
That's all we need to do.
Huh.
I'm just imagining, like, you know, like at a Dead or a Fish show, they have like Shakedown Street in the parking lot.
Yeah,
bro.
I'm just imagining.
All right. This is.
How did this always end up here?
Wyndham, I just came back from Cornell. I went to a Dead show last night. How about that?
Oh, whoa. There you go. How were they?
Fucking amazing.
Of course.
Yep. But Shakedown Street, explain it to Billy, because that's Billy. You walk through the street outside. Shakedown Street's the name of a song by the Dead. And outside at every venue they play at, they have a place in the parking lot that's dubbed Shakedown Street, where you can buy all the buds, acid, LSD, mushrooms, ecstasy that you want. It's amazing.
And is this like an official area?
Yeah.
It's not like they're not like co-signing it, because that would be like illegal. But it's it's like a known thing that occurs as part of this greater phenomenon of these concerts.
Got it.
I picture Stu walking through that like Don Corleone in Little Italy at the beginning of Godfather 2, you know, just tossing an orange up, everybody, you know, kissing your hand, and you just checking out the merchandise.
They're not kissing my hand. They're sticking drugs in it.
You're also not tossing an orange. You're tossing like an imaginary orange because of the mushrooms you have bought on. Not you. You would never, but
he would never.
Yeah. Yes. We're old friends here.
All right. Well, Drew, we appreciate you joining us twice today. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Hope to hear from you guys soon.
All right. Good luck with the t-shirts. Put me down for three. How much are they?
I'll let you know. For you, $30. For everybody else, maybe $100.
I thought for sure you were to go 20.
Yeah.
No, I'm hooking you up. All right. Bye, y'all.
Thanks, Drew. I appreciate it.
For sure.
I'm serious. I'll take three, whatever price you need. I got it. Okay.
All right. Cool. All right. Later, y'all.
I need a double XL for me.
Done.
I'm fat. Right,
peace.
Yeah. See ya. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Stu, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.